Yo, we here live at the crime scene. This is another episode of No Gatekeeping. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. But this is a special episode. This friend of mine, we grew up together. He's not on this episode because we grew up together. I do not want you to get it twisted. He's on this episode because he's been working. You know what I mean? So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. The Vibes himself.
Thank you, my boy
Damian Evans, ladies and gentlemen. Damian Evans.
Appreciate it.
Make sure you get that close up. Yeah.
Appreciate you, my brother.
We here live at the crime scene, man.
Yep, we here.
What's up, man?
All right, man. Just taking care of business. Been working, you know, on the other side of it, 9 to 5. You know, I do the education. I work in higher ed. So just wrapping up the semester and everything, taking care of that.
That's what's up. I see you admitting, man. Like, you got taller, nigga.
Yeah, I've been working out, trying to get back into the gym, trying to get on your fitness program.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
stop, man.
How that go.
Come on, the office is open. You ain't going to go there.
The office is open, yes. The office is open. I will be on that plan starting May 32nd.
You should be?
May 32nd. I will be on that plan.
May 32nd, yep. Yo, so speaking of offices, man, tell us a little about your industry, man.
So I tapped into, you know, I've been into arts since I was young, you know, but I would say as I, you know, reached my, you know, milestones and I finished college and everything as we did, I just tapped into something and I felt like this was my niche.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. This is definitely your niche. I remember us going to college together. You used a graphic design. I remember you taking up graphic design. What was that like for you?
It was cool. So I started out as an accounting major first.
Talk to him. Hello. Hello.
It's all about numbers.
We're going to get into that.
So, yeah, I started out as an accounting major. Then I would say my sophomore year, I jumped into communications. Mm-hmm. And then I went into advertising and copywriting. And I just fell in love with that, like, the first day. So we had different classes and perspectives of graphic designing. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, you know, as merely as much as what I'm doing now. But it was like the basics. You know,
which you got your master's in?
So I got my bachelor's in mass comm, minor in psychology, and then I went back, got my master's in counseling.
We educated over here, ladies and gentlemen. Educated.
Yes, check the stats.
All right.
So, just following that, I just felt like that was something that I was really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then just to transition forward, you know, I worked in education. I taught just as well as you. Mm-hmm. And we went, so ironic, we went through the same program and you actually put me on to City Year.
Yo.
So thank you for that, my brother.
Yo, shout out
really
to City Year, man.
That. Yes.
Shout out to Towns of AmeriCorps.
Shout out to City Year, AmeriCorps. So even through that, I felt like that's when I really started tapping into that space, that artsy space. I had a moment, I was with my fourth grade class and I took them to their art class for the day. And I was in there painting with them, doing watercolor painting.
Type shit.
And I painted a lotus, little lotus flower.
Rafael Della Ghetto.
Yeah.
See what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Good times.
So major question. So starting out in your industry, right? Starting out in graphic design, because I see you moved on to like the fashion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How did you put the graphic with the fashion? How did you tie it together?
It's a lot of practice, a lot of sweat and tears, a lot of research that goes behind it. I feel like if you really tap into this industry, you have to really like, you know, what you do. Mm-hmm. So in a sense of what I'm saying, as far as learning Photoshop, learning Adobe Illustrator, actually, you know, doing the back end of learning how to mass produce these type of, you know, products, and then learning about the, you know, just the formal stuff like the copyright and infringement. Learning about the basic principles behind that, and just learning how to build your brand. The first thing that I did, I bought a heat press machine, so I was pressing up shirts first.
Manual labor.
So I was pressing up the shirts, going to Michael's, going to Blick every day, and then I was going down to 28th Street. And if you're from New York, you know 28th Street is like the golden ticket for us to go find, you know, good, I would say high demand products, but like, you know, blank tees, hoodies, stuff like that, socks, hats, any apparel things that you could think of. So then I just took a risk, bro. And you know how we are, is risk over reward. So then I had to sit down and decide whether I wanted to really fully go into entrepreneurship. And when you look at the basis of that, freelancing is like a balance, because now you're controlling your own space, your time, you looking up the product, you getting your, you know, your business affairs and orders, looking up the wholesales, making yourself marketable. And then on the contrary of that, now you got to jump into the social media world and the aspects of that and actually show people what you do. So I would say I had a pivot in the beginning, and then I just went full throttle with it.
Yo, so so let me ask you a question, right? I know, Dre, listen, stop saying let me ask you a question, nigga. We podcasting, duh. That's what we here to do, ask questions, hey? You know what I'm just saying? What are some things you wish you knew starting out, or some trades or things you wish you knew?
And I'm gonna just mention my brother, Dre. He definitely told me this early.
Amen.
You gotta buy books that's related to what we do. You gotta know people that came before you, you know. Is, you know, that unwritten message that, you know, people that come before you, they know what that process is like, you know, dead or gone. So, you know, just doing research, reading a lot of books, really tapping into like what I want to do. So I don't only just do apparel. I do stationery. I do logos, do business cards. Even when I was in college, I hosted a whole whole gala for like refugees. I did the banners and stuff. So like once you start understanding like how marketable you can be, that's where you, you know, start tapping into that. But a lot of just reading books and then just understanding my style. Okay. And understanding like what I like. And you know, we grew up in Harlem, so it's a lot that goes on around us. So it can be overwhelming at times as far as just trying to stay within the trends. But if you stay within your likeliness and what you like to do, and you know, even, you know, talking to you at times when we do speak, like just getting different ideas. Like I can learn so much from you just from other things that you might do, and then that'll create a whole different outlook on what I'm doing. And then now you're like, oh, wow, I remember Donnie told me this. So this is why I made everything that's on these shirts or hoodies or even my jacket. It's a message.
So what makes you different from because I'm gonna be honest, right? So when I look at your avenue, right, for your clothing, right? It's like, I like the message or the story behind it. Like I like the people who you put on your shirts. They're iconic.
Right.
But the way you do it,
right,
you know what I mean? I mean, it's just different. So I mean, I don't want to say what makes you different for me, but what makes you different for, you know what I mean?
From others. Yeah. So when I first got into this and I met, like, so I'm gonna just, you know, just name drop a few, like Barriers, Tear, like these are, you know, household industry streetwear names that we see now. Just being around those people in that space, just going to different events, I just wanted to decipher, like, all right, I want to go vintage, but I want to stand out with how I do my vintage. And just me, excuse me, just me having a background of the basics of like the advertising part of it, and then the communications part of it. Like every piece that I make, it's gonna tell a story. It has to convey a message. You don't wanna just put anything on anything. You wanna be able to walk up to somebody, or somebody's walking up to you in your presence, and oh, wow, where did you get that from? Or, oh, I never seen that before. You might have seen it before in a different version, but now it's telling a different story.
Has that happened to you?
Yes, plenty of times. plenty of times. I'm going to highlight one of my biggest moments that happened to me last summer. I went to New York versus New York.
Mello?
I got the chance to meet the God. Shout out to the God, Carmelo Anthony.
Yo, Mello, come to the podcast, yes, man.
We need you on Design to Conquer, Mello.
Word.
We need you on No Gatekeeping. We need all of them gems, all of them jewels, man. It was a great opportunity. One of my older childhood friends, Dave Cha-Ching, he hosts the events in Dyckman. I'm sure you guys heard him. He's all over New York. So he hosted the New York versus New York game, him and my other brother, Mr. Talk Spicy. So they hosted that event. So, you know, it had the likeliness of Kyan Anthony, all the upperclassmen that was coming out in 2026. So Melo's at the game. I made a Melo draft day big head shirt. And it was a way how it happened, but I knew it was going to happen in my mind. So you know you had those epiphanies and you're like, all right, this is going to happen the way I need it to happen, but it's not going to happen exactly how it's going to happen.
Right.
So I woke up to the gate. We in a little VIP section. Jalen goes, yo, Melo over there, he just walked in. What you want to do?
Type shit. Here go.
Yeah, here's like, your moment, so it's like,
here's your moment.
I'm like, I got the shirt ready. Boom. Go over there. 2X, too. And I looked up his size, too, by the way. Stop playing.
See? I looked up
his size. Yo, you know.
No gatekeeper. That's a secret.
Yeah, you got it. It's a little source. I had to go look up his size. You know, they had the jersey thing. I had to look up that number. But anyway, long story short, walked up to him. Jada introduced me to him. We talking. I said, Melo, thank you for everything that you have done for this game. Thank you for everything that you have done for basketball. I said, I made this draft day big head t-shirt for you. I wanted to present this to you and just pay homage. And then I just told him who my uncle was. Told him my uncle was Ali Mo.
Yeah, so yeah, I want to get into that. So yeah, so where's your connection and love to basketball? I want to get into that.
So that connection right there, and it's a backstory with Melo, me and Melo, because Jamal Crawford is in the park.
Yeah.
So Jamal Crawford is coaching the other team. So I'm going to make this connection real quick. So my uncle is Ali Mo. Mm-hmm. And just throughout my childhood, I've seen different ways of how he handles being, you know, that stature of a celebrity, but also being himself and keeping it concrete, never too high, never too low, just staying even. And I learned a lot of things throughout my childhood and up until his demise in 2013. So just up until that point, this is why I tapped into what I'm doing now.
Yeah,
because, you know, many conversations that we've had, he's always pushing me to like, nah, you're not going to play ball. You're going to be the president, or you're going to be this, or you're going to be that. So just hearing that when you're a young teenager and just coming up, especially where we're from.
You don't want to hear that.
Like, you wanna play ball. I want to play ball. But then on the other end of it, it's like, I'm a nerd. Like, I like computers. I like reading. I like books. Like, I like traveling. These are things that, you know, it helps you, you know, expand your mind, and then you're expending your time to do different things. So that's how you're able to create all of these different, you know, concepts. So the backstory to that. So now I gave Melo the shirt. We took a picture. My other childhood friend is there. He's into photography. He's on the court. He takes the picture, and it's a classic picture. I didn't blow the picture up yet. I'm definitely going to do that. And when I meet Melo again, I'm going to get him to sign it. But I'm holding the shirt up in the actual.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I'm holding that up. So after that, Jamal Crawford is on the side in the back. Me and him start talking about, you know, and basketball and stuff. So I said, my uncle came to play you in Seattle back in like 03, 04. He like, yeah, I remember that. Guess who's in the gym with them? Jamal Crawford, Ali Mo. Guess who walks in? The Black Cat. And if y'all don't know who the Black Cat is, that's that guy with six rings from Wilmington, North Carolina. Yeah, he went to North Carolina. Y'all know who he is, played with Chicago. Jordan walks in, and this is a true story. My uncle calls me. My grandmother calls me in a room. He like, yo, Dede, guess who I just walked in? I'm in the gym. I'm hooping. Guess who just walked in the gym, and he know who I am? I said, who? He said, Jordan. I said, what?
Fuck is he talking about?
He like, yeah. And he walked up to me like, yeah, I know who you are. I said, wow. So, like, it's just different highlights of my story where it's like I can tell different things about my childhood. So where it's like.
And it adds to your character, who you are.
It adds, yes. It definitely highlights everything that I'm doing now. And I would just say I'm just blessed, bro. I'm just blessed to be here. I wake up every day with a mission to actually create. You know, like I said, I take care of the 9-to-5 stuff, but this is my baby right here. Like, without this.
What legacy do you want to leave behind with your industry?
With this, I want people to recognize everything that I did and that I did it with a purpose. And that's really it. Like, I did everything with a purpose, and I wasn't just, you know, bullshitting.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's different levels to this, but I'm still growing in this industry.
That's a fact.
I'm still growing, so I feel like my legacy is going to go far beyond this, but it's really to leave it here for, like, my niece. You know, mm-hmm. I got a niece, so, you know, she's growing up, so I want her to see different things that I do, and hopefully that inspires her. Mm-hmm. And I inspire other people as well, people in my neighborhood, people in our peer group. So it's just staying focused on things like that that keeps me going, mm-hmm. you know? Even being in this type of space, this is a legacy right here. Like, even after us, somebody else is going to be doing this too.
Do you find time where it's like you keep going? Do you find time where it's like sometimes you come across these roadblocks?
Oh, yeah. What you call that? Imposter syndrome. That's what it's called in the art world. So, I have those moments where I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. I would say these past 4 months since I haven't done anything.
So you just let it sit?
I just let it sit because sometimes you have to let things, you know, marinate. You gotta let it cook. You know, mm-hmm. you done put the recipe, you done did everything. You ain't ready to eat yet.
I felt that.
So sometimes I don't be ready to show the world my work. Mm-hmm. Because, I know I inspire people, but I know it's a little envy in that too, mm-hmm. sometimes. So it comes in different facets for me.
Okay.
And I feel that there's no thin line or no separation between it. So it's just like, that's why I don't present too much.
Right.
Because it's like, I have to keep that to myself. And it's not, and I know we're on no gatekeeping, but it's like certain things I have to keep to myself because I want my brothers to see it before I let the public see it.
Yo, I'm glad you mentioned that, right? And I need the camera to get me, right? When it comes down to no gatekeeping, mm-hmm. right? I think people get confused by what I mean. I'm not asking you to give your secret sauce or what makes you different or how you know what I mean? I'm asking you to give insights or guides that you've come across that could help other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the main difference. It's like what things or that you can contribute to in terms of your industry that you don't mind sharing with other people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
While still preserving your brand. While still preserving your brand, your identity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so, what you're walking around in. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just had to clear that up. I'm glad you brought that up.
And that's a good question, bro. And I feel like that's where I was, you know, as I mentioned earlier, as far as like the entrepreneurship part of it, like, and what's so crazy, I'm going to just say this. I asked Gemini this question last night. I said, Gemini.
I'm sorry, who's Gemini?
Gemini is AI app that, you know, Google has. Yeah.
I got to get that.
Yeah. So
Will Smith, Gemini? All right, no.
No, not Will Smith.
All right. I'm saying.
No. Right. But Gemini is an AI feature app that Google has. It's been out for like...
It's like chat GPT?
No. It's like having Siri in your back pocket with a chat GPT.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they have different advertisements on TV about that, but... I used it last night. I've used it a lot. Mm-hmm. And AI is here to stay. Do not be scared of AI. I'm telling y'all. Please do not. If you learn the functionalities of it, you master it just like any other thing.
It's like Excel on the low.
It's like any other thing, bro. Yeah. You just like learning how to tie a shoe. You mm-hmm. have to start from the basics with stuff. You can't skip steps.
Yo, man, ask your question.
You can't.
I keep saying that. Dre, I know you're going to kill me. I know. It's all right, man. Y'all wish it can the camera get Dre? No? Nobody? No? All right. It's all right. Because you see, he's like, yo, shut up, nigga. In true no gatekeeping fashion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are some secrets you could let the people know?
What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Let's talk about like copywriting.
All right. We could start there. I'm not going to lie. There's a... what's that book for dummies?
Yeah.
That brand. I started there. And it's copywriting for dummies.
Yeah.
I read that, got some knowledge about what I couldn't do, the do's and the don'ts. One thing I would say about this, I make a lot of personal concepts. So that's why I don't have a website or I'm not on per se. I'm trying to think. Teespring. Teespring is like something where you go up there, upload a T-shirt. Let's say you like cats and you like cat mom. You go up there and you upload that. That's marketable in a sense where it won't get, you're licensed, but you're going through Teespring and their license.
Okay.
So once you sign up for stuff like that, or like Kittle, if you sign up for these type of platforms, and these are like different platforms that you use if you want to start making like a shirt or a logo or a business card. So I'm just mentioning that per se, like I started out in that, and then when I started making these type of shirts, I was getting flagged because I'm using their likeness. So, you know, I don't want to get sued by Missy Elliott, but if I'm making a Missy shirt and I'm going to a Missy concert and I know the vendors out there has that specific shirt that they're selling with their buddies, I got something else that they don't have. So that's when I just started making it personable, and I just started going back to 28th Street, and I found this shop called Create Imprints. And I met the owners there, very beautiful people. They're from Egypt. They're Indian, though, but, you know, they reside over there. But they put me on. Like, I went in there about 2022, November. I took about $2,000, and I went in there and just bought, like, 20 hoodies. And the first thing was of my uncle. So I sold 20 Ali Mo hoodies. And I paid for them. And I gave them out.
Just so, to get your brand out there.
Yeah.
So is that a secret within itself?
For me, it is. Because you have to start somewhere, bro. So it's not necessarily I want to take your money.
Right.
But I want people to recognize and, you know, remember the face. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So for me, I say that to say it was a lot of risk. Because I've done projects for myself where I pay for it and then shit got stolen. You know, your ROI on it is not what you thought it was going to be. Because it's little things you got to do. Like, and that's why I go back to the whole freelancing thing. It's a difference as a freelancer in this space than you're working like for a brand and company. So let's say I work for Timberland. I'm only going to be making stuff for Timberland.
Yeah. So it pushes you
in
the box.
I'm not showing my value.
Right.
You might be in the next cubicle and your work might be great. Dre might be in the next cubicle and his work is stellar. My work might be good, but then now we're all in competition now. So we're not separating ourselves unless somebody starts cutting throat. And in this industry, it's like that. You see it. And especially on social media, that's why I go back to sometimes I can't post everything because I done seen people go and take a screenshot, go put it on their page. And it's like, yo, bro, how you just gonna steal my whole concept? Like, what Drake said, you wasn't with me in the, he wasn't with me in the gym. He wasn't with me in the lab.
Is that one of the obstacles you face?
At times I did, but now it's like, it's kind of slowed down now because I feel like in the pandemic, it was oversaturated. Everybody wanted to make a brand. Everybody wanted to, I want this. I need this. So then I was just like, I'm about to separate myself. I'm a graphic designer. I'm into fashion because, of course, I like to dress. We from Harlem. We style our own self. So it's like, I'm going to take something, a piece of this, and teach what I do and why I do it. So even when when was that? About what, 2 years ago when I went on Dre? I went to Milbank.
Yeah.
And I went to help Dre out.
Interview you, I remember.
Yeah, and that was like the first interview, the dropping the gems. And when I first went into that space, I was like, damn, I'm nervous. What am I gonna talk to these kids about?
Yeah.
And you know what I did? I bought my resume. I bought a graphic designer resume to show them, yeah, you could do your 9 to 5. But if you like other things, you could learn how to make this. Google is a whole world for us. And then now you got all this AI stuff. It's so much things that's accessible. So I went in there with that aspect. Like, let me show them what I do and why I do it.
If I'm a graphic designer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still in no gatekeeping fashion. If I'm a graphic designer, what's some things that you would like share for someone starting out?
I would definitely say YouTube University.
Okay.
Definitely go on YouTube. Just type in whatever concept you like. So if you like vintage, type graphic design vintage t-shirts, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Start there. And now you're going to get a whole list of people who do what I do, but they have their own style of how they do it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I feel like, you know, we have to also support each other in far as aspects of that. You might be doing what you're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing over here. But in some facet, we can collaborate. And that's where it's like, even if I want to start something, I'm still going to come to my close peers that I feel like that's like and mindful of what I'm doing to present something to them and then make them interested.
Type shit.
So then now you might be good at public speaking. I might be shy. But now I can use your voice to get my message out. So it's like it comes in different avenues, as I mentioned before. But just as I mentioned, like, you know, YouTube helped me out a lot. And then just reading books. There's a lot of people that's in this space that are black and brown, Hispanic, European. And art is life. So graphic design is like real little compared to like somebody doing a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually putting something on a canvas piece. Like, I went to an art show. Everybody had canvas pieces, actual paintings. I'm the only one up there with digital pieces on canvas pieces, if that makes sense.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
God, all right, I got it. Dre, God damn it, Jesus. Okay. In your opinion, what's the difference between a graphic design artist and a person who paints or actually uses a physical hand and a physical canvas?
We're similar.
And how are you different?
We're similar because we both use a canvas, but mine is just digital.
Right.
They have to go get the acrylic paints, the brushes, the water, and actually, yeah, that's, I feel the only difference is the thinking pattern of actually the same way I open up Photoshop. And it's a 16 by 20 canvas, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, what am I going to put on here? And then it's like, ooh, my mind just starts going. And it's like, damn, what movie did I watch the other day? I feel that's the only difference, the perspective.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you can go and do the same thing if I teach you it.
Because I mean,
just like with an artist, if you didn't know how to draw, you would go take a drawing class to perfect how you hold the pencil a certain way, how you make your lines. And then as you get better, you go into drawing too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, like I said, it's levels to it. So I would say early for me, once I took them advertising classes and I'm doing those type of concepts with Photoshop, I was immersed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I'm learning the basic principles of hierarchy, composition, proximity, the spacing, your font, your colors. All of that is compiled into that one program. And then you just create that magic. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
My brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother.
Amen.
I got a few more questions for you, man. Yeah. Stop, you know what I mean? Relax, man. Stop trying to relax. Get comfortable, nigga. Yeah. Fuck is wrong with you? Where's the wine? You got wine in here?
I got no wine.
Damn, B. You got water?
I got wine. I got water. I was in a rush.
All right, so... I asked you about your legacy and what you want to leave behind. How do you prioritize your work-balanced life? Do you see yourself in the future? Like, where do you see your industry in the future? Like, do you want to make this full-time? That this is what I want to do. I don't want to do the 9-to-5 no more. And, you know, to what scale? How long would that take? You know?
I feel that's a great question, too. And that's an everyday thought.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, even what I do now, I've been working in higher ed since we came into Bridgeport, and that was in 2009. So that's what, 17? And I'm not showing my age, but I'm mid-30s. So it's like, I like what I do on either level.
Yeah.
I love working with students, helping them get to that fourth year and graduate. I love working with the families that we meet. And I worked in different institutions now. So at this point, for me, is just continuing to learn and grow and stay consistent. Because even with the new administration that we got in office, there's a lot of things that change in my industry in higher ed that I'm still waking up like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, they changed that. Or, I'm sorry, we can't do that. So it's like there's a lot of processes and procedures that we still go through every day on that level. So where it's like I work at an art, architecture, and engineering school. Those are all specialized human beings that I work with. And they're entering into the world now, trying to see what they can do in their industry. So these are the conversations that I have. And then when we venture into that, oh, well, what do you do? Because they want to know, what do you do besides crunching stuff into the system all day? So, you know, I do graphic design. And, oh, wow, you do? So it's like, now I have another conversation for them after what we done talking about on the business side. Now I could talk to them about what I really like to do. So
the way I see it, that's what you're saying. So how you prioritize your work-life balance is like you actually are working with with your actual industry.
Yeah.
You're actually working inside your industry.
I tied that in. Mm-hmm. I took over for 11 months in 2022, and I said the next school I want to work at, it got to tie in
to my art. It has to be an art school.
Into what I do.
That makes sense.
So it's an architecture, art, and engineering school, but when I was young, I wanted to be an architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And who don't want to be into engineering?
Yeah.
That's how this world functions. Mm-hmm. That's how we got this, you know, this beautiful setup that we got here. But, yeah, that's for me, bro. I get off of work and I'll be feeling like Denise Williams, just free, bro. Like,
I got to be free. Da-da-da-da-da free.
That's
how I roll up.
That's how I be feeling, bro. So
that's what's up, Cam.
I feel I'm at that type of level now. I'm just balanced now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up, I go to work, I do what I need to do there. 5 o'clock hits, 5:30, I'm out the doors, and I'm looking at what else I'm going to go home and go make. And it could take me talking to you on the phone for 10, 15 minutes, me talking to Dre for however, you know, many minutes. And then it's like, oh, shit, got it.
Inspiration.
Let me open up Photoshop.
It's over.
Let me go open up Illustrator and make a logo, go put on a jacket or a hat or whatever. So now I feel like I'm accessible to everybody now, and it's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I didn't like it because people wasn't paying me. You got to pay the artist, man. Stop. Like, we don't just sit on a computer all day and just make this magic and to not get paid. So it's like, yeah, sometimes I have those pivots where it's like, that's why I mentioned earlier, I don't like making it to where it's like, oh, I'm selling this. Because most of this stuff to me is like is personal to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd be damned if I go press this up and, you know, go make this and I say $100. And,
that shit is fire.
And homie hit me with but you my mans. But then you will call me on a weekday for happy hour, though.
Yeah.
Or you will call me when the spot lit.
When the Jordan dropped,
it's like,
willing to pay that Jordan price.
Yeah, but even that, but that's personal to me. You know, we're gonna continue to buy sneakers. I ain't going to never
change.
But
what I'm saying is that they wouldn't question the price of a Jordan.
Yeah, no, they don't. And I've hit people with that line. You know what I'm saying? You're not walking in Prado or whatever.
You're not questioning that price.
Yeah, and it's like, I even had to tell some of my close peers, like, don't worry, when I get that store, and I walk them people in that you don't know, and I know them, and you like, yo, damn, what? Yeah, but remember that, what you said about 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Because it takes time, bro. The next venture for me, I'm building an app. So I hollered at my man Dre for that information, because we're not gatekeeping over here. So he put me onto that. So I went the ChatGPT route, and then my bro Lamar, you know Lamar.
Hell yeah.
Lamar is in the process of building his own app, and he just sent me something where the AI does it for you.
That's fire.
Generates the coding for you and everything.
That's fire.
I'll see if I could pull it up, but it's stuff like that, bro. Like,
no gatekeeping.
It's just stuff like that. I was just like, oh, bro, send that in. He was like, yeah, I got you, bro. Sent the link and everything. I was like, nah, I'm just, these are moments where it's like, I'm I'm proud of you. Yeah. And I don't hesitate to say that. Even, you know, what you guys are doing in this space, I'm proud of y'all, bro. Like, you taking a bet on yourself. You don't know who's gonna be next in on this couch. You don't. And through your mind, you probably already had 20 people already sitting here that you ready for. It's gonna take that one moment. And that was for me too. Like, me and Melo, that was a moment, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's Carmelo Anthony. Like, you don't.
I felt that game.
Yeah. Or, but the name of the app is called Cursor AI and Devin AI. So these are two apps that allows you to collaborate with AI. It generates the coding.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't checked it out yet, but I am in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to start that process. But I'm building a lifestyle branding app. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have templates up there. You're going to be able to buy my concepts,
mm-hmm.
Any stock images, fonts, logos. I'm going to have like sweepstakes, little giveaways, stuff like that for like personal stuff that I make that's still sitting in my hard drive. But yeah, bro, it's time. And I felt this way for a while now. So like this is something special to be a part of. So I want to thank y'all again.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
Let me be a part of this, man. But there's no gatekeeping, man. You know the vibes, man. Stay true to yourself. Stay fly, man.
Excuse me. Yo, shit, shout out to my fucking boy, man. Yo, thank I appreciate you, man. Excuse me. Shout out to my boy. Shout out to my brother. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Jay.
I don't want to curse. Yo, I love you, kid.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
you, man.
It. Yep.
It's your boy, Damien. Thank you. The vibes.
Yep.
Check us out.
Mr. Two Times. Check me out on Instagram. If y'all need any merch, any coats, hoodies, apparel, this is my new drop. Oh, I got something special for you.
Come on, don't do that. Don't do that.
Got one for you.
Don't do that. Come on, B. Listen, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't make me cry in here. Oh, you shouldn't have. Come on, A. Oh, you shouldn't have, B.
Oh, yeah, we're not gatekeeping.
Oh, chill.
Feel me?
Chill.
New drop, latest drop.
Nah, that's fire.
I posted myself.
Come on.
Feel me?
Come on. I need to be around some love. You know what I'm saying? Come I need to be around some. Yo, come on, man. I love you,
appreciate
kid.
Appreciate you, kid.
Yo, thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
You know that.
Yo, we designed to conquer over here.
Yes. No gatekeeping, man.
Another episode, man. Stay tuned. I appreciate y'all. Thank you. It's your boy. That's it.